discussed until now what type of houses chayav mezuzah, what kind of doorways chayav mezuzah, who's chayav mezuzah. Now we have to last couple of aspects of the halacha to figure out how one goes about putting the mezuzah actually on. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Menachos that the mezuzah has to be kavua onto the doorpost. It's not enough just to hang it on. The Gemara says what's called talab amaka. Let's say a person just takes a stick. There's a stick that's connected to the side of the door. They just take the mezuzah, it's hanging it on. So the mezuzah is not connected, it's not kavua to the doorpost. It's just kind of hanging there. So the Gemara says that's not acceptable. That's not a kiyum. That's a little would be al is the connotation has to be kavua. Based on this, there are some posts who the following interesting idea. Sometimes when people nail in their mezuzahs, so they're not so careful, they nail in one of the nails, they don't even nail the other nail. Sometimes they nail in both nails, one of the nails falls out, and then the mezuzah's kind of hanging there, you know, moving around a little bit. So many folks can say that's like tol b'mako, that's not acceptable, that's not kavua b'mkoma, that's just kind of hanging there. So let's just try to be careful that the mezuzah should really be kavua, should really be established in its right place. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that when it's kavua, the mezuzah b'masmeirim, with using nails. Later post can point out that the Shulchan Aruch didn't mean to say that Kafka halacha moshe mesinai has to be nails. All the Shulchan Aruch meant is that it has to be something that's kavua. There is no mokma in the Gemara that has to be dafka nails. So as long as it's something which is strong, something which is sturdy, which stays in place. And there's the Shulchan Aruch, there aren't that many other options. So the Yerach HaShulchan writes, let's say you have some very, very strong tape, some glue or something, something which will keep the mezuzah in place properly. So the Yerach HaShulchan writes, you think that that's okay. There is no halacha, lemais, that it has to be really, really masmerim. So therefore the post can say that if one's able to put nails, the screws or something which is really kavua matov. If you have a situation, sometimes you have the doorpost is metal, so you can't knock nails into it, so then you have to put some good solid tape. So usually today it's recommended use a double-sided tape. That usually will do the trick. How kavua does it have to be? How tight does it have to be? Let's say, you know, even have double-sided tape, you just take a little piece of scotch tape. Is that really good enough? So there seems to be a shayla in the post about that. So the lashon of the shach seems to be that as long as it's kavua enough, that it's not just going to fall off by itself. I mean, you're not going to play with it. It's just if you just leave it, you tape it up, and it's going to stay that way. So that should be all right. So pasha, according to the shach, just one good piece of scotch tape on top, good piece of scotch tape in the bottom. Pasha should be good enough. And so a little later, post came out of mafakfik, they question whether that's really true. The Chovas Adar suggests that maybe the shear is a little bit more than that. But maybe the shear is not that it'll just stay by itself. But even if you set into it, even if you pull into it, even if you try to yank it off, it's not going to come off. The truth is that many mezuzahs, if you yank hard enough, it'll come off. But that means the normal circumstance, if you would go over to the mezuzah and start to play with it and start to pull a little bit, it will come off. So the Chovas Adar has questions whether that's really considered to be kavua. So why don't you try? Let's try the best to be kaveh the mezuzah properly. Sometimes you have a situation where you have to be kaveh the mezuzah temporarily. Let's say that's what we spoke about in the past. Not even sure which is going to be the right side. You're waiting for a rough to come and tell you which side to put on. The other, you don't want to leave the door without a mezuzah. So you try to do your best. So there are no circumstances. I tell people they should just put it up with scotch tape. I think according to the shach mikra din, so it's taped on the top, taped on the bottom. It's not going anywhere so fast by itself. It's mikra din. That's probably acceptable. It's better to do it that way rather than leave a doorpost for an amount of time without a mezuzah. But again, the normal circumstances, once you try to cover the mezuzah in a proper manner. I think it's also good. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk close to Chovas Adar, you can pull it. You can just unzip it. I don't know, maybe quite then it would be a problem. Okay. I'll get you some double sided tape. That was good for the super decorations. That was good. Before one connects the mezuzah, one is kaveh the mezuzah, so one recites the bracha being a likvah mezuzah. So the halachas of the bracha before putting on the mezuzah are pretty similar to the regular bracha, the regular halachas of the brachas. So we've spoken in the past about certain types of doorways that are questionable, whether they even require a mezuzah. One of the most common shadows is if you have a doorway without a door, according to the Rambam, that's not obligated to mezuzah altogether. So our minig is that we put up a mezuzah, but in deference to the Rambam Shita, we don't recite a bracha. So very often you have these kinds of situations where, say, you can make this closets and then other kinds of shadows, which are questionable whether there should be mezuzahs there in the first place. So the minig is you put up the mezuzah without a bracha. But let's say you're putting up a whole bunch of mezuzahs, so then obviously you should make the bracha on the one that's chayav, and you should have in mind that's part of the one that's a suffix. I think so, yeah. The garage is a base of Otsar. So even though the Rambam sheet happens to be that a base of Otsar is potter from Mezuzah, here Rabbi Kivenga writes in a Shuvah that the Rambam was totally outvoted. Rabbi Kivenga says the barometer as to whether a sheet is considered to be part of the halakhic process, whether it's Mamash Nitcha, is the Shulchan Aruch even quoted at all? So when it comes to a door, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes, if you have a doorway without a door, so the Shulchan Aruch writes that according to the Rambam, it's potter, and according to everybody else, it's chayav. So the Shulchan Aruch mentions the Rambam sheet, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as the Yesh Omer. Ashenka, when it comes to a garage, it comes to a base of Otsar, so the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote the sheet as a Rambam who's cholik. The Shulchan Aruch just quotes straight out that a base of Otsar is chayav. Therefore, Kivega says that when it comes to a door without a door, so you should put it up, albeit without a bracha, in deference to the Rambam, comes to a garage, so once you put it up even with a bracha, it's considered to be chayav b'teres v'atay. So the regular rules, as we said before, the regular rules of Bechaz Brachas pretty much govern the bracha upon putting up mezuzah, let's say the marshal, the dinner of Hesek. So we know when a person says either a Brachas HaMitzvah or a Brachas HaNanin, so what is that supposed to be master? What is that supposed to interrupt between the bracha and the fulfillment of the mitzvah or the eating of the food? So let's say a person makes a bracha with Gvah Mezuzah and then they start to schmooze, so that's a problem, and then they would be required to recite another bracha, that they lost that bracha. Let's say a person is going to put up a lot of mezuzahs, so this is a general shaila in Hilchas Brachas. We spoke about this in Hilchas Tfilas Kelim, we mentioned this. These are running machlokes in the Rishonim. When I make a bracha and I'm going to do the same mitzvah just 20 different times with 20 different chetzesh mitzvahs, so does the bracha have to relate to all of the chetzesh mitzvahs, all the ma'aseh mitzvahs, or is it good enough that as long as I'm not matzik between the bracha and the original mitzvah, so that's good enough? So this was a shaila in the Rishonim, a shechita. Let's say a person's going to shecht 20 chickens, so if you make one bracha ala shechita, is there anything wrong with talking asach ben shechita shechita? Is there anything wrong with talking between the subsequent shechitas? So some Rishonim said that it's not a problem at all. You made a bracha. Some Rishonim bring the mashal like achila and a suda. You make a bracha, you make a motzi lachem in aretz, you take a bite, you swallow a piece of challah, and you're allowed to talk. We have yet to hear of the chumra that you're not allowed to talk during the entire meal. Maybe it wouldn't be such a bad chumra for other reasons, but in terms of Ruchas bracha, so the halacha is a person that's allowed to talk during the meal. So if you're allowed to talk during the meal, so some Rishonim said, what's the difference between the bracha that you make on the first piece of hamotzi, first piece of challah, and the subsequent kapalas, and huadinami, the first shechita and the subsequent shechitas. So according to those who show them huadinami when it comes, let's say, to mezuzah, or it comes to tefillas kelim, b'dikas chametz, any of those kinds of mitzvahs, which have a long duration to them, so you recite the bracha, and as long as you do the first ma'aseh mitzvah, then you can talk afterwards. And other Rishonim say, no, other Rishonim say, that it may be a question that you may have to recite a second bracha to bring a raya from hanachas tefillin, because by hanachas tefillin, you make a bracha before you put on the shel yad, and that bracha carries you over to the shel rosh. According to Rashi, that carries you over literally to the shel rosh, and you don't even have to make a bracha on the shel rosh. Rashi shit is, in the normal circumstances, you make put on tefillin, so you make lahaniach on the shel yad, and then you make, and that's it. And that lahaniach carries you over, and you never make the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. And Rabbi Natan says no. Rabbi Natan says that you make lahaniach on the shel yad, and then you make it al mitzvah on the shel rosh. So Beil Rashi, who says that lahaniach is chal on both of them, Beil Rabbi Natan also agrees lahaniach is chal on both of them. It's just that Rabbi Natan holds you need an additional bracha for the shel rosh. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to talk between the shel yad and the shel rosh. The most of the favorite, if a person talks between the shel yad and shel rosh, you have to make another bracha. According to Benatam, you have to make al mitzvahs. According to Rashi, you have to make al mitzvahs. According to Benatam, you have to make another lahaniach and an al mitzvahs. So everybody agrees that when it comes to tefillin, talking is a problem. Everybody agrees when it comes to hamotzi, talking is not a problem. So the Rishonim out of Machlokes, what's the rule, what's the exception to the rule? So what is kaveh exactly? What's the din b'shechitas, the tefillas kelim, the mezuzah, the digas chametz, all these mitzvahs, where you make a bracha and then you have a long, long time, you do the mitzvah over and over and over again. Are you permitted to talk, and does talking pose a problem of a hefsek which would warrant another bracha? So they avoid this whole shayla. The posuk say you're not supposed to talk. Why get involved in a shayla of a suffix brachas? So therefore, the correct thing to do is whenever you have these long events, you make a bracha, and then you're quiet the whole time. So when you're putting up mezuzahs, it may take you an hour to put up 25 mezuzahs in your house. So in the chenavi, you should make the bracha, and then go around room by room, go to the one that's chayav for sure first, find one room that's chayav elishim safek, and then make a bracha on that, put up the mezuzahs, and then go around and nail up the mezuzahs on all the other doors. If the evidence of a person spoke at that point, then we're not going to tell them to make the bracha over again. But the chachila one is supposed to be careful not to talk unless it's in your lineage, unless it's relevant for the mezuzah. Let's say you ran out of nails and you can't find the nails. You can ask your wife, where are the nails? So you need help, somebody to hold the mezuzah for you while you're maneuvering the tape. Okay, so that's necessary to perform the mitzvah. That wouldn't constitute a half sick.
Why would we bring a riot from the amendment?
Well, Well, that's exactly the question. That's what some Rishonim say, that there's no raya. Some Rishonim say that Brech Dinen is different because the Brech is on the same Suda, on the entire Suda, it's not on the particular piece of bread. And others disagree. Others say, well, we find there are similarities. So if a person makes bracha before Motzi, then talks, so he has to make another bracha. So too, if you make a bracha, l'gvom mezuzah, when you talk, you have to make another bracha. So there are similarities in terms of what's happening between the two. Shaila is, where do those similarities begin, where do they end? That's exactly the Shaila that Rishonim. The bracha of reciting l'gvom mezuzah, that's under normal circumstances. Is there any time that the bracha is a little bit different? So there is a whole discussion of Tosfos, a very, very strange discussion among the Brahman and Kinega about the possibility of reciting a different bracha upon fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah. The shayla is as follows. Let's say a person puts on mezuzah and they're living in a house for a couple of years, and then they go away. They move out for a while. And then they come back 6 months later, so we don't find in halacha that they take the mezuzahs off, but somebody leave the mezuzahs on. So the post can raise the question, well, when a person is not really living in the house, so then you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. We spoke about this in the past, mezuzah chovas hadar. So that's not really called the mitzvah of mezuzah. So now a person comes back 6 months later, and it's meant about, we moved there and saw for a year, no one's living in the house. He comes back a year later, so now he's re-fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. So some achorim care with the chiddush, you gotta make a new bracha. So what bracha are you gonna make? Are you gonna make the bracha l'gvoh mezuzah? You're not being kaveh the mezuzah. What are you going to take the mezuzah off? If you don't find chazal anywhere said, you come back from Sudan, you have to take your mezuzah off. So some achranim came up with the following kiddush. You have to make a bracha. You know the bracha is a shaykh. Yidishan and mitzvah says, well, l'ador v'bayish yesh bo mezuzah. A new bracha yesh me'ayim. So many of the achranim say that we have problems with this bracha. First of all, we never heard of such a bracha. It's eilal l'chadish brachas me'atzmeinu. And number two, does it really make any sense? Is there a mitzvah to live in a house in a mezuzah? A person sitting in a house, getting the mukhah and zun, being yates in the mitzvah of living in a mezuzah. There's no such a mitzvah to live in a house in a mezuzah. The mitzvah is to put the mezuzah on. So you put the mezuzah on. So it could be that in Rechanan, it could be that the Echaretim are right, that close by you run sabbatically, you attack and not yates in the mitzvah. But there's no bracha to make. I mean, it's not shaykh to make a bracha under those circumstances. You don't make the bracha, you just keep the mezuzahs on. That's what I'm minigas. I have yet to hear anybody recite this bracha. Most people have even heard of this bracha. So we assume that halacha, this bracha doesn't exist for practical purposes. So that's a later question. Then later, the Achronim discuss, wait a second, where do you draw the line? So at what point do you say that the person is no longer a dar in the house? What if a person goes away for the summer? Or a person goes away overnight? A person goes to work? A new chum, everything, you go to work, you leave the house, and then you take the kids away, the kids go to school, your wife goes to work, you come home 5 o'clock after the new mezuzah ceremony every night. So we don't find such a thing. So that's a question, why that is. So the answer is that tiknu chacham, that they would never misnach in such a bracha. Where do you draw the line? It's hard to believe somehow a guy goes away from his house for a couple of hours, a couple of days, that he's taught from the mitzvah mezuzah. You would say, such a thing, the guy goes away for the summer. So you would say that he's allowed to take the mezuzahs off? I don't know, it's hard to believe. Maybe it depends how far he's going. If he's going somewhere where he's really not going to come back, where his mom is not being dar at this time, maybe he would be permitted to take the mezuzah off. So I don't know, I'm not sure. The minute is you don't take the mezuzah off, you go away for the summer, and when you come back, so you don't make a bracha, there's no lichvah mezuzah, no love to the b'bayish yesh mezuzah either. The Gemara tells us that Chazal is saying that a person has to check the mezuzahs every couple of years. Why do you have to check the mezuzahs? So even though we have a cloud called Chazakah, that Minat Torah, we rely on Chazakah, we rely on the fact that there's a status quo. If the mezuzahs were kosher, assuming they were kosher, you have to make sure you buy the mezuzahs from a good sefer, but assuming the mezuzahs were kosher when you put them on, so there's no reason to assume that anything has changed. But nevertheless, the Gemara tells us that there's a certain reyus on the chazaka. There's a certain fear that maybe something went wrong with the chazaka. What might have gone wrong with the chazaka? So the pashtus in the halacha is that the mezuzahs are exposed to the elements. I'm talking primarily about the outdoor mezuzah. So a little water gets in, a little seepage gets in, a little dampness gets in, things like that. So those kinds of things tend to ruin mezuzahs over a significant amount of time. So the upper chazal in the second, that you have to check the mezuzahs. It's hard to believe that midaraisa, you have to check the mezuzahs. It's hard to believe that midaraisa, we really have to be chayshish for that. Pashas, it's midirabanan that a person is required to check one's mezuzahs. The Gemara says, in contrast to mezuzahs, one is not required to check one's tefillin. The Gemara says, the tefillin ain't shuchim b'dika oilamis. There's a mechilta that disagrees. There's a mechilta that comments from the pasuk in Pashas Bo. V'shamarit es achuka zois tlamo adam yomim yavima. So the mechilta interprets that pasuk as referring to tefillin, which is a question in and of itself, whether that's even true. It's a shaila in the Gemara. And assuming that that's what the pasuk was referring to, v'shamarit es achuka zois, means the mitzvah of tefillin. What does it mean, the yamim yamima? So yamim yamima usually means once a year, like yamim tiyagulasa. So what does it mean, you only put on tefillin once a year? Anukula. So it's because of that problem that one of the Tanoim said, that's not what the pasuk even means. That the Akiva says the pasuk is not even referring to tefillin, it's referring to tefillin, so come in Pesach. But that pasuk Mishamarta is in Parshas Kadesh, at the end of Parshas Bo, and it's unclear from the context what the chukah is. Is the chukah come in Pesach? That was the chukah tefillin, because both of those mitzvahs appear in that particular parsha. So Rabbi Akiva said that Mishamarta, the chukah azos, means the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and Yom Yamiyah means once a year. And Rabbi Yosef clearly said, no, Mishamarta, the chukah azos, means the mitzvah of tefillin. What does Yom Yamiyah mean? So Rabbi Yosef clearly says, no, Yom Yamiyah doesn't mean once a year, it means every day. And it's based on that. Rabbi Yosef clearly says, you don't wear tefillin at night, min HaTorah. We probably don't paskin that way. Rabbi Yosef clearly says, Yom Yamiyah. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef clearly had a machlokes taich in terms of what does the chukah mean? And that machlokes led to a second machlokes, what does the phrase Yom Yamiyah mean? So the Mechilta has a third interpretation. The Mechilta says that the parasha is talking about tefillin, and Yom Yamiyah means once a year. What does it mean, Mishamarta once a year? Doesn't mean that you put on tefillin once a year. It means you have to check your tefillin once a year. You have to be Shabbat, you have to make sure your tefillin are kosher every year. Once a year, you have to check your tefillin. So we don't paskin like this Mechilta. So the Meshech Chochma comments on this Mechilta. So the Meshech Chochma comments that it could be this is a din d'araisa, because the Mechilta is learning the daf from Sukkim. So the Mechilta had a very, very unique understanding. So the bit of Bedikas tefillin, the Bedikas mezuzahs, all these things are mamish b'daraisa. So we probably don't paskin like this. So the halacha is l'maisa tefillin nikra din don't have to be checked ever, and mezuzahs are required to be checked at certain specific intervals. Even though parenthetically, even though tefillin the ikra din don't have to be checked, the way the poskim read the Shmura quotes, that's a good idea. Abba Bichain, one shouldn't rely on the chazakah for 50 years. She checked your tefillin every couple of years also. It's not as chomer as mezuzah. It's not a real din to check your tefillin. The most important check, I always tell the bachram, is that the most important check is the first time. I mean, to make sure they're kosher to start with. A lot of people, not such good pairs of tefillin. So then they say, I don't have to check them. Get it? It's true, assuming they had a proper chesed kashrus to begin with. So if you had a proper bedika the first time, so then you can go a couple of years at a shot without checking them. But mezuzahs, one has to be careful, because that's what Ikar did. So even though the Gemara seems, the Rishonim seem to say that the bedikas mezuzah is really for the outside elements, that would lead us to believe that mezuzahs indoors don't really have to be checked altogether. So we assume not that way. And the post can assume that all mezuzahs have to be checked. So how often do they have to be checked? So the Gemara uses a strange phrase. The Gemara says Pamayim b'Shavua, doesn't mean twice a week, it means twice every 7 years. So twice every Shemitah years, every 7 years, one is supposed to check the mezuzahs. The pashas in the Gemara is that it's not like Halacha Moshe says it's got to be 3.5 years at an interval. It means if Chazal meant every 3.5 years, they should have said every 3.5 years. It's how approximately you try over a course of 7 years. So if one time it's just a month or two too late, a month or two too early, it's not the end of the world. Once you get into the habit of every couple of years, every 3.5 years approximately, checking one's mezuzahs. What exactly are you checking for when you're checking your mezuzah? So the post from right, that you're not checking to see whether the mezuzah was written properly in the first place. It means you're not looking to see whether there's a letter missing in the mezuzah. It's highly unlikely that if the mezuzah was written properly, that an entire letter disappeared. So you're not mechuyev to check for that. What you're mechuyev to check for is to make sure the letters didn't crack a little bit, they didn't fade a little bit, things that tend to happen, like old sefer Torah, things that tend to happen with time. So therefore the post can write that you don't really need a sofer to check your mezuzahs. As long as they have a cheses kashas, they were looked at over properly at one time, so you can really just unroll them themselves and take a look and see. If you don't see any cracks, you don't see anything that looks like it's fading, then that's all right. Post can say, you don't have to check for chaseris and yeseris. You don't have to check to make sure that every word is spelled properly. No matter if it wasn't spelled properly beforehand, so then it was possible from day one. So you assume that it was the original sofer wrote it properly. It went from a reputable sofer. So of course it was spelled, words were spelled properly. So you don't have to check the mezuzah against the chumash to make sure that it's spelled properly. You just have to make sure whatever was there, is taka still there. So one really doesn't need a professional to check one's mezuzahs. I think you have money to lose. What is the sofer charge? $4 to check your mezuzah or something. But it's not worth the time. I know for me personally, I can never figure out. I don't need the sofer to check mezuzahs. I need him to wrap it back up in the plastic, because I can never figure out how to do that. I'm not so handy. So I pay him $4 to wrap my mezuzah back again.
I just want to ask you to check your sofer, and then you need the sofer. Somebody doesn't necessarily get them back to the time.
Okay. Look, Mikra Din, it's not the end of the world. You have to check them. So it takes a few minutes, built into the Takon of checking, it's going to take a few minutes. So the Mordechai writes, The Masechet Menachos that there's no issur to live in a house without a mezuzah. There's a mitzvah mezuzah. You're mechuyev to put the mezuzah on as soon as you can. So let's say you have a situation, the Moshe guy on Shabbos, his mezuzah falls down. So you say he's in violation of an avera because no, it's not an avera. Since the halacha is tying his hands that he can't put the mezuzah back on again, so the chiyag avner, the Torah was never mechayev him to put a mezuzah. Still, it's the same thing here also. If chazal and mesachin that you have to take the mezuzahs off and check them for 5 minutes, so whatever's normal, so you shouldn't give the mezuzah to a surfer. I live in California, Mr. shouldn't send his mezuzah to Eretz Yisrael to get checked and have him sent back 6 months later. You're right. But whatever's within normal, it takes a couple of hours to check the mezuzah, so be it. If a person's very nervous, doesn't want to leave the house without a mezuzah for a minute, so we should have to ask the surfer to do a house call. The rabbi comes in this house call, so he'll check the mezuzah and puts it right back again on the spot, so that's okay. The Gemara has an interesting din that when you check mezuzahs, so even though you're supposed to check them twice every 7 years, so the Gemara says that's only if it's a mezuzah shor yachid, or it's a mezuzah shor rabim, it's a public area, like a medrash, or yeshivas, or camps, things like that. So then the mezuzah only has to get checked twice every 50 years, pamayim v'yoga. Why is that? So the Gemara says very simple, because kedera debe shitfei lo kariv lo chamimi. Gemara says that, which literally translates to mean, if you have a pot that blows a lot of people, so it never tastes very good. Why is that? Because as we all know from anyone that's ever been involved in Tzorchei Tzibur knows that when you have a job that's supposed to be taken care of by a lot of people, so it ends up getting done by nobody. If I have a personal obligation to do it, then there's a fighting chance it may get done. If it's something that 20 people are supposed to do, then no one's going to end up doing it. So Chazal were concerned. They were afraid to institute that the yeshiva mezuzahs or the camp mezuzahs or the shul's mezuzahs should be checked twice every 7 years. That's never going to happen. If you're going to put such an unrealistic demand on people to go check the mezuzah Rabim, the Shari Ha'ir, and Shai Medina, those kinds of mezuzahs, twice every 7 years, Chazal understood, you don't need Ruach HaKadosh for this, they understood basic human psychology, it's never going to happen. So therefore they said, okay, we're going to be very, very naked on you, we're going to be very lenient on you, twice every 50 years, you think you could pull that off, twice every, make a mezuzah checking committee, every 25 years, someone decides to check the mezuzah, so that Chazal felt was a little bit more realistic for a mezuzah sharab. So that's the din, but in the Chanam, you have these kinds of mezuzah sharab, and shul mezuzahs, things like that, you're talking about mechuyif to check them. Again, but that Torah and Pasha, you never mechuyif to check any of the mezuzahs. But with the Rabbanan, kach tiknu, so mezuzah shayachid, to mesachin twice every 7 years, and mezuzah sharabim, to mesachin twice every 50 years. What's the deal when a person is checking mezuzah and now he puts it back up again? Is he required to make a new bracha? So the Torah depends. So if he takes the mezuzah off and he puts it right back up again, so this was a machlokes that we showed him in general about whenever I'm in the middle of doing a mitzvah and then I stop doing the mitzvah and I continue to do the mitzvah a few minutes later, do I have to recite a new bracha? So the machlokes stems from a story, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, about Rabbi Danasi. The Gemara said that Rabbi Danasi, towards the end of his life, and he was suffering from a very serious stomach ailment. He has the stories, and he used to try to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. Well, the din is that the person has stomach problems, it's a tough mitzvah to fulfill. Sometimes the person's taka cholim ayayim, taka potav from tefillin, the gamrei. So Rabbi Danasi would sometimes put on tefillin, and then he would have to take his tefillin off to go to the bathroom. So the Gemara says whenever he would take his tefillin off to go to the bathroom, he would come out of the bathroom, put them back on again, he would recite another bracha. So the Rishonim out of Machlokes, just what conclusion can we draw from this? So some Rishonim said, you see from here that any time you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, you stop, and then you continue a few minutes later, you have to make another bracha. Another Rishonim said, no, this is different, because tefillin, you're not allowed to wear the tefillin in the bathroom, so the halacha required him to take the tefillin off. But if he would have just taken off the tefillin for himself, just for 5 minutes to stop, and then put it back on again, he would not have recited another bracha. So that's Machlokes, the Mechaber, the Ramah, in Hilchos Tzitzis. What's the din? If a person takes his tzitzis off for 5 minutes, and he puts it back on again, does he have to make another bracha? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say yes, just as Rabbi Danasi made a new bracha after coming out of the bathroom after 5 minutes, and the Ramah says no. The Ramah says that was different because the halacha required him to take off the tefillin, whereas tzitzis, you chose to take off the tzitzis, as long as you have in mind to put them back on again soon, that would be okay. So the Ramah says, provided two conditions are met, provided that when you took them off, you had in mind to put them back on, so there was no hesef hadash, you didn't lose track of them, and number two, it really happened soon afterwards. Of course, the Ramah doesn't quantify how much is soon afterwards, so the Ramah leaves us hanging. In a chesitzis, in a chesitzis, what would that locha be? See, a person, a common shower, a person takes off his chesitzis to go play ball, to go take a shower, things like that. Then when he puts him back on again, he's supposed to recite a bracha. So according to Shulchan Aruch, yeah, but according to our meaning, it's like the Ramah, no, and then it's unclear where you draw the line. Let's say he played ball for 20 minutes, he played ball for an hour and a half. took a shower for a long, long time. The Mishnah Berurah says the Geico takes a shower, and then when you come out, you have to make a new bracha. Mishnah Berurah was talking about in Radin, the shalom is a whole day event. You got to go to the Shvitz, it's in the Shvitz there, but, you know, so they fill up the Turkish tub for you, it's a whole to do. Whereas the Zman Azek, I went to the shower, out of the shower in 30 seconds, so it's hard to believe that's considered to be a hefsek. So again, there is no shear that's written in stone in the Mishnah Berurah at least, as to how long it's considered to be a hefsek. So the same is true when it comes to mezuzah, guys, checking his mezuzahs. So if he takes the mezuzahs off and then he puts them back on again 20 minutes later, so then it's hard to believe he should recite a new bracha, because he had in mind to put them back on again, and it was also a short amount of time. What if they're off for a long, long amount of time? It becomes tricky. He sends them to the cypherms, and the cypherms drag around and gets them back a month later, so then he probably should recite a new bracha. So of course those are the two extremes. What about something in the middle? A few hours a day, and it's hard to say exactly in Ilkos Mezuzah what's considered to be a hefsek. I'm not sure. It's hard to give an absolute to quantify this amount. However, one thing that those can say, let's say a person checked the mezuzah, it turns out the mezuzah is possible. He's got to get another mezuzah. So then, gosh, they should recite a bracha. If that door is a doorway that's really chayav, the Torah's vadi and mezuzah, then look how you should make a new bracha, because the ma'isi you are yotzei in a mitzvah with the possible mezuzah. So that's the beginning of a new mitzvah mechadash. So then one would be required to recite another bracha.
Because of the
Lucky Ramah, she thought
about the door, and when you check
the mezuzahs,
should be careful
to
label them.
Yeah, I think so. We'll talk about it in a minute. We'll talk about switching mezuzahs from one door to another. The last thing I want to talk about in terms of Lucky mezuzah is probably the most common challenge we get in Lucky mezuzah, and that's a person moving. You're moving out of the house. So what are you allowed to do and not allowed to do with the mezuzahs? So the Gemara in the end of Metzia, it happens not even to be in the mezuzah sugya, it happens to be in the sugya of renters, and maskers, and sochers. The Mishnah in the Gemara is also sugya in the end of Perkei Shoyel. If I rent a house from you, who's required to provide the lock, and who's provided to provide the windows, and all the different parts of the house? So it's in this the Gemara discusses, who's mechuf to pay for the mezuzah? So the Gemara says, mezuzah chavis adar, that the socher is required to pay for the mezuzah, because it's his chiyuv, the deraisa, the rabbanon, the maisa, the socher, the tenant has to pay for the mezuzahs. So the Gemara says, when you leave a house, let's say I rented a house, or now I'm walking out of the house, I'm leaving, so the Gemara says, lo yitlana biyada, you're not supposed to take the mezuzahs with you, you have to leave the mezuzahs behind. So the Gemara then tells a very scary story. I think it's the scary story that caused everybody to take this halacha very seriously. So the Gemara says, ma'aseh shehayah, that there was somebody who took his mezuzahs with him, and his family suffered greatly. And the Gemara comments, l'man yirbu yimeichem yimei b'neichem, posuk says, chsaftam al mezuzah v'sechem v'sherecha, and mezuzah is a school of arichas yamim. So we have a lot of schools out there, some authentic, some less authentic, a lot of schoolers. So here the Torah says it's a quote-unquote schooler. It's not that it's a school in the sense it's a mystical, magical, it's a mitzvah. The Torah is promising you, Arichas Yom, so the Gemara says, that if a person doesn't fulfill mezuzah properly, a chalila can lead to a lack of Arichas Yom. So in fact, it's this pasuk that the Gemara says, this is the source that women are obligated in mezuzah. Even though one would have perhaps compared mezuzah to tefillin, like there are certain similarities, one would have said, just as women have two from tefillin, the pturus from mezuzah. So the Gemara says, it's not true. The Gemara says, nashi laboy chayi, where women don't have to live. The Torah says, l'man yirbu yimeichem, so women also want to live. So clearly the Torah didn't take them out of the parasha mezuzah. So the Gemara says, a terrible story, a person took off the mezuzahs, and then a terrible tragedy befell him. But, the ma'aseh, the din is, with the tragedy, not tragedy, the ma'aseh, the din is the same, the din is that lo yitlana biyada, you're not allowed to take the mezuzahs with you. So there is a shaila in the Rishon in the 2 days in Taisus, why is this true? What is the nature of this halacha of lo yitlana biyada? So one day in Taisus, a very, very lenient interpretation as to what the nature of this din is all about. Why is it that? Why can't I take mezuzahs? I'm moving out of the house. I take my couches with me. I take my dishes with me. Why can't I take my mezuzahs? Why can't I take my mezuzahs? So one day in Taisus is that this is part of the regular cloud of Ein Mevatlon as a mitzvah, in the sense of once something is designated to be used as a chetzesh mitzvah, so it's a bizayin that it should be stopped. It's not the covenant for the mitzvah, that it shouldn't be functioning as a mitzvah anymore. So it's based on this, the Gemara of the Machlokes, whether materially beged le beged or not. Let's say you have tzitzis on one beged, and you're allowed to take the tzitzis off the beged and transfer them to another beged. So one day in the Gemara Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, Rav says that Ein materially beged le beged, that one strings are performing the mitzvah on one beged, you're not supposed to take them off and put it on another beged. That's like a bitul mitzvah. Once they are are being yaitzed, and once you've been yaitzed with this baggage, you're not supposed to take the strings off and put them on another baggage. And Shmuel said, no, matir mibagim lebaggage. Shmuel says, you're allowed to take them off of one and put them on another, because sof kol sof, you're doing the mitzvah, manaf kamina, when it's this baggage or the other baggage. So we happen to pass like Shmuel. This is one of the three cases where the Gemara says, even though normally Rav and Shmuel be Isur and we follow Rav, this is one of the three exceptions that we follow Shmuel, that in fact matir mibagim lebaggage. So the Rishonim write, yeah, matir mibagim lebaggage, which even Shmuel agreed, matir mibagim lebaggage. Let's say matir mibagim to throw in the garbage. So let's say you have a beged and you want to just stop, take the strings off and take the strings and discard them. Not to be a mitzvah, just stop there. You want to just take them off and put them aside and leave them in the drawer. So even Shmuel agrees that that's not right. Because here the strings have been functioning as a chetesh or mitzvah. Just stop to retire the strings, that's not right. You don't stop take off the strings. Rav held, you're not even allowed to take the strings from one beged and put them on another beged. And Shmuel said that's okay, but material beged, just stop, just to leave them in the drawer, that's not right. Unless the post came right, let's say you have nicer strings. Let's say the reason why you're doing it is out to the mitzvah, because you want to, not to detract from the mitzvah, but forget, you want to enhance the mitzvah. So if you want to enhance the mitzvah, that's okay. That's not a bizarre mitzvah. That's a hidden mitzvah. That's all right. But just stop to take off a chetzah shel mitzvah, just stop for no reason, just for kicks. So that would not be appropriate. So Tosfos writes, in one day, that's the yisur lo yitmaneh biyadeh. That a person has beautiful mezuzahs, and the mezuzahs are serving a function, are serving a purpose of the mitzvah, and now he has to move out of the house. So he shouldn't take the mezuzahs off, because what's he going to do with them when he takes them off? He's going to just leave them in the drawer. He's just going to leave them somewhere. They're not going to be yitzeh mitzvah anymore. It's not right. It's better that he should leave them for the next tenet. The next guy will at least continue doing the mitzvah, so the mezuzahs won't be embarrassed. The mezuzahs won't be degraded by just being nisbat l'midei mitzvah son. So Tosfos writes, that's pshat, that the whole nature of the yisur of taking mezuzahs off is out busy on mitzvah. So Tosfos says, im kein, then we plug in the original machlokes Rav and Shmuel about matir mibagim lebaged. So we pass it like Shmuel, that matir mibagim lebaged, so it did not be matir bibayis lebayis. So then the medvah memurim, the chazal said, you're not allowed to take the mezuzahs off, that's only if you're going to take them off and you have nowhere else to put them. Let's say I'm moving out of a house which has 20 doors, and I'm moving to downsizing a little bit, and only have 10 doors. So you shouldn't take those mezuzahs off, because if you're going to take the mezuzahs off and leave those 10 in the drawer, so you're being mevatel midei mitzvah. And that's like taking strings off a baggage and just leaving the strings in the drawer. That's not appropriate. That's a bizarre mitzvah. But let's say I have 20 doors in my old house and 20 doors in my new house. So that's a problem. Shmatir mi beggar lebeggar, we pass my shmur. That's perfectly okay. So one day Tosfos says, that's fine. The Gemara never said that's a problem. The Gemara just says, well, you want to be yadel and just to leave them. But if you want to be no-tell and put them up somewhere else, in another house, so that's perfectly okay according to shmur, where we pass it. That's one day in Tosfos. But Tosfos quotes other days that don't accept that. And Rav Rishonim, we pass in Shulchan Aruch, not like that. The other day Tosfos says, no, the reason why Lena Biyadu is not a regular din hilchos mitzvah, it's not a din klali about bizayin mitzvahs, it's a din prop, it's a localized din hilchos mezuzah. It's linked to that tragic story about mice that a person took off the mezuzahs and a terrible thing happened. Why is that? So says the second day in Tosfos, the mitzvah mezuzah is not just a mitzvah biyama, but the Gemara already speaks about the idea that somehow a bias of the mezuzah is like is nishmar, that the Rav Shalom watches the house with the mezuzah. It's like a shmirah, whatever. It's like a little bit of a throwback to Korban Pesach, that you put the same way you put the dam on the mezuzah, so as a shmirah in a sense. So to the mezuzah is a zecha to that, so it's also served a little bit as a shmirah. The Rambam says that people have to be very careful when you say that mezuzah is a shmirah. It doesn't chas v'sholem mean that it's some kind of an amulet, some kind of a hocus pocus, you know, kind of a thing that you do in mitzvah. It's not a school in the conventional sense of the word. The Rambam writes it was a terrible practice that people used to on the mezuzahs. They would write names in malachim into the mezuzahs. I mean, because we write certain shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the back of the mezuzah. That's okay. But the Rambam quotes that there are people who used to write a mamash into the mezuzah itself. They would write all kind of mishigas and all kind of shemas and things like that. So the Rambam says it's a terrible, terrible thing. The Rambam says two things. It's terrible, number one, you're not yetzid in mitzvah, the Rambam says, because the mezuzah has to be the text in the mezuzah itself. You can't just add your own happy birthday to it. You have to have just the words of Shema Yisrael on it. And number two, the Rambam says what's even worse is that people who are doing that are taking the mitzvahs of the Rabbanu Shalom that were given the Torah's mitzvah and turning it into a game and turning it into a joke, turning it into some kind of a baby game. So the Rambam says it's a terrible, terrible thing. So what does it mean when Chazal say that the mezuzah is a shmira? So the Rambam says what it means is you do the mitzvah and b'schus the mitzvah, the Rabbanu Shalom will be shown to you. It's not that you put up the mezuzah because the purpose of shmira. The mitzvah, you do the mitzvah because kach tzivah, the Rabbanu Shalom, and part of the assets of doing the mitzvah is that you have Rabbanu Shalom wash the house also. So Tosfos quotes open that idea of the Rabbanu Shalom washing the house, and Tosfos writes, The reason why you can't take your mezuzahs off, it's like an aver, but I'm the chavero, because another Jew's moving and the next tenant's moving and you're going to take the mezuzahs off. Who says he's going to have mezuzahs right away? How do you know? Maybe he won't get around for it. He's going to be in a house without mezuzahs, and who knows? He'll get damaged. Something will happen to him. So you're going to be the cause of that. But you taking off the mezuzahs, so you caused this guy a nezek. So therefore, Taisa says, well, one of the others has nothing to do with mevatel a mitzvah. It has to do with that, the unique status of mezuzah. Nothing to do with tzitzis and other mitzvahs. It's the unique status of mezuzah that you're not allowed to leave a Jew behind in a house without a mezuzah. So therefore, you're stuck. You have to leave the mezuzah behind. So we pass in halacha like the second day. Therefore, even if you have to take the mezuzahs with you for your own purposes to put them in your next house, it's tough. You're not allowed to do that. You have to leave them behind.
Obviously, it's an idea
you take off. Very well. So the post can say if it's going to be a non-Jew who's going to move in, or even a Suffolk whether it's going to be a non-Jew, then not only are you allowed to take them off, you're required to take them off, otherwise they'll be thrown into the garbage. So to protect the conditions of mezuzah, you have to take the mezuzahs with you. The post can point out that even though the din is that you have to leave the mezuzahs behind, it doesn't mean you can't charge the guy for them. He's supposed to pay. The right thing for him to do is that he should pay for the mezuzahs. Let's say you have very, very expensive mezuzahs, so you're not mechuyev to leave your fancy cases. That's not what halacha moshe is saying, what the case looks like. You can leave him mezuzahs just taped on cheapy, in a cheap way. Also, you're not mechuyev to leave him a $500 mezuzahs. You can leave him kosher mezuzahs also. So if you want to take your fancy mezuzahs with you and leave the guy cheaper mezuzahs, as long as they kosher mikra din, so that would also be acceptable. So if you know a from person moving in, it's like you'd either talk to him before it. Maybe he wants to buy the mezuzahs from you, maybe he doesn't want. So you have to figure out how to work it out between the two of you. The Maisha has an interesting cooler in terms of this, becomes a very helpful cooler. Sometimes it's a lona im kind of situation. The guy's got his own mezuzahs from, he's moving from one place, he's got his own mezuzahs, the person who's moving into his house is non-Jewish, he's taking mezuzahs, now he's got 20 mezuzahs, it becomes a little bit of a sichsuch. So, 25 mezuzahs, it's going to cost you over $1,000. So it becomes a little uncomfortable. So Maisha has an interesting cooler. Maisha writes, now, let's say you have to take the mezuzahs off anyway. So why would you have to take the mezuzah off anyway? Let's say you're going to paint. So very common when a new tenant moves in. So I don't know what all the laws are, but sometimes at least the Baal Bus is supposed to paint, whether he's keeping it or not. So if he's going to paint, so Blabach, you have to take the mezuzah off. If you leave the mezuzah, you're going to get ruined. So anyway, you're taking the mezuzahs off. So Rav Moshe writes, once you're anyway taking the mezuzahs off, so you have a right to take them off. So now, where does it say that I'm going to put them back on again? The din is said that you shouldn't just yank the mezuzahs off and run out of the house. But once, let's say I'm moving out of the house, and for whatever reason there are no mezuzahs there, we don't find the chazal and the chayvi to go out and buy mezuzahs for the other guy. Let him go buy his own mezuzahs. The din is can't actively take the mezuzahs off. But if I'm actively taking off anyway to protect, they're doing construction, they're painting, they're doing things which Balabachi require taking off the mezuzahs. So then, once they're off, they're off. Once they're off, I'm going to leave them on the table. I'm allowed to take them with me. That was Ramosha's coolest. That becomes sometimes helpful. So, but putting that aside, if it's a real situation, we don't have any of these coolers, and the right thing to do is Tachalo Yimbiyad. The Gemara says that this is a serious problem. The person has to be careful about it. The other guy should be a mensch, and he should pay you for the mezuzahs. Or if somehow the other guy comes and he wants to put his own mezuzahs on, so he'll take off your mezuzahs, then he'll put his own, he'll send you back, whatever, you'll figure out an etzah. But you're not supposed to walk out of the house and leave the mezuzahs there. So Daniel pointed out that it's this part of this halacha, in terms of, we said, materi begel abegel, that you have to be careful, even though the nature of this halacha is probably like the second day it tells us, that it's nothing to do with materi begel abegel, but we have to keep that in mind anyway. That means you have to always be careful that you're allowed to switch mezuzahs from one door to the next, because we pass the materi begel abegel, but only with the assumption that the doorway that you're switching to is on equal footing or more chayav than the previous door. So let's say, Marshall, I had a mezuzah that was on a room with a door with a chayav lechaladeus, dollar by dollar, nala hidurim, whose chayav door is vada, and then I want to take that mezuzah and move it to a kitchen which is without a door, which is less than dollar by dollar, all kind of different spakes. So that's not appropriate, because that's a bittul of matili beged lebeged. You're only allowed to be matili beged lebeged from a beged achayev to a beged achayev. But to take from a beged achayev to a beged apotah, that's not right. So to over here, we're machmir to put mezuzahs on, Rabbi Kibegim mezuzahs. We're machmir to put up mezuzahs on doorways without doors, but doesn't mean the Torah is v'hadid that yichayev. So to go ahead now to cool and say, well, I can switch mezuzahs all over the place, so that's probably not appropriate either. So therefore, probably the more correct thing to do is, when you check your mezuzahs, you should just put a mark, not on the mezuzah itself, but a little mark or something on the back of the mezuzah, which doorway it came from, because it's not appropriate. Whatever was chayav, teres v'adai, if you want to switch from one bedroom to the next, that's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to switch from a bedroom to a room that may not be chayav, so that's probably not the correct thing to do. Okay. You can make a pretty much a siyum on Hilchos mezuzah. So if anyone has any suggestions for the next 2 weeks, Mr. Shem, so I'm open to suggestions.